Amen.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Well, again, thanks for coming back out tonight. I want to transition into what we've been doing here on Sunday nights and what we'll conclude next Sunday night, which will be Easter. There's always the question. There's Mother's Day. It's never asked about Father's Day, but Mother's Day, Memorial Day, Labor Day, and Easter. Are we having evening service? The answer is no, yes, yes, no. No, actually, it was, never mind. We're having service next Easter, Sunday morning and Sunday evening. But we don't dismiss it for Mother's Day, which I always get a lot of flack from one mother in particular. And then we just do it for Labor Day and Memorial Day. So that's where we are, unless we make some special announcements, okay? I know they didn't clear up anything, but at the same time, this puts us all on the same page. We are talking about, and we're using this thing, Play the Game, with the whole purpose of discovering or investing and watching and looking and trying to earnestly discover what our spiritual gifts are. And many of you know what your gift is. It may be underused. It may not be utilized to its maximum. I'm not here to grade you on any kind of scale as to what you're doing with your spiritual gift. But we are, once we're exposed to these things, we need to be responsible. And the whole idea we're presenting is, you know, why have these board games if you're not going to play them? They're just sitting on the shelf, just looking. There's a lot of things that don't happen when you don't play these games. Number one, you got it for all the wrong reasons. I thought you got it to use it. Even if somebody gave it to you, there's a reason you have it. It's to be put in use. There's entertainment. There's relationship. There's involvement. There's interaction. That's what happens with these games. But if you sit on the shelves, then, you know, do what I warned my kids one time. Debbie and I were sitting in the living room, and we were playing with Mabry Ellen. And my son and my daughter and my son-in-law were sitting in the same room, mind you, just feet away from each other. And they were playing on their phones interactively this game called Family Feud on their phone. And you could tell every now and then something, they'd all giggle at the same time, and I go, what's going on? And they said, for crying out loud, you're in the same room and you're just fixed on this phone. And I said, I just want to let you know, when she's 12, and it won't wait till that long because she's already mastering our phones, she can go to photos, she can go to video, she can bounce all over it. You can hand it to her and she knows how to go and get her favorite little movie off of like Nickelodeon or whatever. She just doesn't want to interact with anybody. Yeah, at that point, you know, it's all about energy. This thing called life that God has given us is for interaction, is for us to be together. So all of you that are on your phones right now, put it away. Just put it away unless you're going to read Scripture with me, all right? That's all there's to it. I want your eyes up here or else I believe you're playing with your phone. That's all there is to it. I'm just kidding. Kind of. We got to the point when I was it happened to me at Evangel College. It happened to me in high school. It happened to me everywhere we go. The first part of the year, you get out the pads, and why look at the pads unless you're going to put them on? Then you're going to start practicing. You get to that point where you practice, you're going, I'm tired of hitting people I know. I'm tired of practicing against the same people, and you're so ready to start the season. I wish that was true in Christianity. I wish there were people in literally in our churches that are going, I am just so tired of worshiping with the same people. Let's bring some other people in here. You know, and all that. And this is not a guilt trip comment. It's just that in Christianity, it's almost the same thing. We get really more and more and more comfortable with the same crowd instead of mixing it up into a new crowd. Agnes Blaylock, precious, precious lady from Woodlake Assembly, sat from the pulpit right over here, and I'll never forget the day. I didn't see it, but I was told about it. There was a stranger in her pew. In her seat, to be more specific, she stood over this gentleman. Finally, he said, may I help you? She said, you're sitting in my seat. She'd gotten so comfortable to where she was, and so involved in what she did, in her routine, it doesn't matter. Somebody had invaded her space in the wrong way. So obviously, it's a little overkill with the emphasis here, but this is what we're trying to do. Okay, so let me give you a couple of phrases to catch us up to where we were last week. We were made to be used. God made us to be used. These bodies that don't last longer than 80, 90, and then every now and then somebody clips the century mark. Praise God and bless them, you know. But these things aren't made, where they're made to be used, not to be relics, to just be admired, whatever. We're supposed to be used, and we get used up, and we don't like that, you know, and we get tired. But that's because we're doing something. Trust me, you know, that's something that God has designed. The other thing is that we were saved so that we could serve. God didn't save us so that one day we could just wake up in heaven and go, this is awesome. Don't we get wings or something like that? No, it's so that we can do something here and so that we can take people with us and we can make a difference here. That's where this kicks in tonight. We all have a gift to use. There's something that God has uniquely gifted every one of us with, and we just need to find it, and we need to share it with God. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 says this, do not neglect the gift that is in you, but put them into practice and devote yourself to them. Do not neglect the gift in you. My son, I was talking to somebody this morning, he went to 7 universities. He went to Roger State University, went to TCC, he went to OU, he went to Evangel, he went to Southwestern, he went to UCO. I think he finally graduated from, what was the name of that thing? Maybe Creighton or something? It's the university down there in Lawton. Okay, seven places, okay, he went, okay. He finally graduated. He's got a degree in history, and he's a youth pastor. I thought, oh my goodness, he has turned out to be his dad. I got a PE degree and I'm a pastor, for crying out loud. You know, and here's the funny thing that I was telling this morning. I said, my son went to 7 universities, and I'm convinced of this, even though he may not admit it. He was running from the fact that everyone had told him since he was literally about 12 that you would make a great youth pastor, that you'd make a good this, good that, you know, and it just seemed to fit, you know. It just seemed like he was, but he was so concerned that he was just following the footsteps of his father, and there wasn't any big issue there. It's just that, you know what, he didn't want to fall into what seemed natural and what people were telling him. He wanted to know that this is really what God wanted him to do. And finally, one day, he surrendered to that and said, hey, I'm supposed to be in ministry, and he's in ministry. You know, there's people out there, and I hear this story all the time, you know, their dad's a doctor, and their dad wants them to be a doctor, and they follow this route, and they wake up at 40 years old saying, I never wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to paint. I wanted to build things. I wanted to be a mechanic, whatever. None of us wanted really to. Guess what? I hope that we're continuously frustrated that we do that in the spiritual gifts. That would be a great problem. We go down to so many roads trying to find our spiritual gift that we missed it. I think you'll find it. And that's where we want to go where we are tonight, okay? So listen, you're uniquely gifted for this, and it's for two reasons, to glorify God and edify others. It is to bring glory to God that we do these things, that God has gifted us these things. It's not to bring attention to ourselves and to edify others. You know, where are we in this process? Can I just tell you and remind you, anytime you do something that brings glory to God, that God gets the credit for it, and it benefits somebody else, God always takes care of you. You are never out of the loop. And we have to remember that, because it feels like, especially in Christianity, that pastors and the church is always asking, give, 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 give. And sometimes we deserve that attitude that people have because of the way we present it. I mean, some people just, you know, it seems so impersonal, and it just seems mechanical, and all we want is your money type thing. But you know what? When we give opportunities and we start talking about finding your ministry gifts, if we do it correctly, it won't be give or else you're going to feel bad. It'll be let us help you find opportunities and an attitude that you can glorify God and edify others so that God can keep pouring into you. Because the more you empty yourselves of yourself, the more God is going to fill you with Him. And I don't know if that really makes sense or not. We've experienced it to one extent or not, but we've got to maximize that in our life. What do we serve with? We serve with spiritual gifts. And God has given all of us, and that's where we're going to go tonight. Your spiritual gift, however, and what you're good at may be two different things. It may be the same thing, but it may be two different things. I remember listening to Ron McManus. He's up in Springfield now in our headquarters, and he told a story about he was at this one church, and he came in, and it was raining like today, only it was much worse. And they had a guy out there with this raincoat thing on, a big umbrella, and he went and got him and brought him in. And he was telling, you know, the pastor, he said, man, I sure was glad that guy was out there. He said, do you have any idea who that guy is? He said, no. He's the most renowned brain surgeon that we have in the entire Northeast, United States of America. And yet he's out there helping people with an umbrella get into our church services. You know, there's a lot of people that when they get a certain status, they think that they're the ones that are supposed to be waited on. And here's what this guy found, a place to serve, you know, and he has all these incredible abilities. So that's where we want to go tonight. Let me dispel a couple of spiritual gift myths, okay? These are things that we need to get rid of. First of all is this. They are only for super spiritual uses. Most people think spiritual gifts, because of experience and the way they are usually distributed, only think they're for super spiritual uses, like a gift of tongues in a church service and somebody to do prophet, to interpret that, or prophetic word or that type of thing. Or when a special speaker comes and they just have this incredible anointing. I still remember back in January when Gary Sapp was here, and he preached the weekend we were talking about, what if we really got serious about the Holy Spirit? There were about 20 people got baptized in the Holy Spirit that night. I can't replicate that. I can't be Gary Sapp, but I can appreciate what he did. He had a very, and most people will go, well, that was for then, and that was for that moment. No, you know what? That was for us. Every one of us, that's what we need to do, okay? The other thing is this. We are not lowering or watering down the move of the Spirit when we talk about this. Rather, what we want to do is we want to exalt or expand the practical gifts. You see, when we start thinking about that list of gifts that are in Corinthians, can I just take an interview? How many of you have the gift of healing? You lay hands on people and they get healed. How many of you have the gift of miracles? You know, we could go down that list and most of us would go, that's not me. But we ignore or we minimize everything else because it's not glamorous, if you will. Now, let's just understand, God wants to use all of us. If I remember correctly, Jesus said, you know what, you honored me the most when you just gave a cup of cold water. When you gave somebody who was naked something to wear. When you went and visited someone who was sick. You went to and saw the prisoner. Those are the things that Jesus said, you do it unto them, you do it as unto me. So if we're looking for, you know, bragging points, if you will, that's a wrong term to use, but you understand what I'm saying. When we get to heaven, if we were looking for that moment when God's going to pat us on the back, it's probably not going to be in a church setting where we are used in the power of the Holy Spirit. That'll just be an expression of who we are personally, of the things that we do out there that are practical and makes a difference. It's called the Pentecostal experience. And let's not minimize it one bit, okay? Now, let me share a couple of things with you, okay? Really, natural talents are given at natural birth. We get natural talents when we are born. There are things that you can't help. You know, you are just the DNA your mom and daddy gave you. I don't know why I said that way. The DNA, the genetics that was you because mom and dad, you know, decided to have children. There's things you can't change about that. And we're constantly trying to do that. I mean, plastic surgery. I see some of those people, I'm going, you deserve those big old fat lips. You know, it's just hilarious, man. You ever seen a little hard? You know, it is hilarious. Because they're trying to be something that they're not. Let's not do that spiritually either, but there's natural talents, natural abilities we get at natural birth, but there are also spiritual gifts we get at spiritual birth. When you were born again, God says, I'm going to gift you for things to use you in many, many ways. And now we just got to discover that. It happens when you were born again. It comes to the question of spiritual gifts, there are two wrong answers. Number one, that I have all of the gifts, every one of them. Boy, you are spiritual. As a matter of fact, your nickname is Jesus, okay? If you have all. The other thing is, I don't have any of the gifts. That's probably where most of us hover. If nothing else, we don't think that we have gifts that are important enough to really be used. Here's the problem, I think, in a lot of churches, and I want to be very liberal with this comment. I've thought of this several times. Back in the old steam-driven, you know, boats, like the Titanic, okay? Everybody knows what the Titanic is. Big old four stacks, you know, the chimneys, if you will, those smokestacks that came out of that ship, big old bellowing black smoke. That's because there are men in the belly of that ship. If you watch any of those Titanic movies or whatever, they're in there, and they are just dirty as they can be, and they're just shoveling coal into these big old burners so that this coal will burn and generate, you know, all of this heat that turns this water into steam that drives the engine that propels the boat. Nobody sees them. Nobody wants to talk to them. They really don't want to come up there and be with the fancy people. They don't fit. But yet, if they did not do their job, this boat don't move. We're dead in the water. And most of the time, churches, I think, just sit dead in the water because there's a lot of people that have minimized their gifts because they've decided. God hasn't told them this, but they've decided that they're just, they're just best to just be in the shadows or whatever. There's a lot of jobs that happen, and they are not on the platform. You know, they don't play instruments. They don't preach up here like this. But without them, we are just done. But the sad thing is this. It's not that those things aren't happening. It's that there's a lot of people that should be doing it more, but they've already just decided among themselves, talking to the mirror probably, I don't think God can use that. I don't think God really wants to. They have a burden, and they want God to use them, but they don't think that's what's happening. So your job is simply this. Find what God has gifted you to do and use it. Now, I kind of went the Craig route. I went to Troy State University, and I discovered pretty quick, since I went down there to try and walk on and play football, that almost every football player I knew was a PE major. So I said, that's just ridiculous. I'm not going to be a PE major. I did this math thing. I did a criminal justice thing deal. It was really cool. I met this little Hitler kind of guy, you know, who was an FBI dude. It was really, that was kind of interesting. You know, I did all kinds of little stuff thinking that I was going to find what it was, because I was not going to go down the stereotypical PE route. And then I made the mistake of praying about it. And God said, no, I want you to be a PE major. Then I transferred to evangel, and I thought, okay, now I'm supposed to do Bible. And I prayed about it. God said, no, do PE. So I'm going, you got to be kidding me. You know, God, I'm trying to be spiritual here, you know. And the funny thing is that when Debbie and I went to Woodlake, we'd only been youth pastors for 1 year in one place in Birmingham, went to Woodlake. We were interviewed by the board there, and one of the board members said, you know what, I think I love your resume. I like the fact that you're very athletic. You come from an athletic background and everything. And he said that stood out to him. I got hired basically because I was a PE major and some of the things that I did. See, God knows what he's doing, and we just need to cooperate. We may wake up a little late, but we're going to get there. Let me share things with you tonight. Here you go. I think there's 10 of them. And these are gifts that we often, they fly under the radar, if you will. I don't want to relegate them that they're shoveling coal in the belly of the Titanic stuff, okay? That's unappealing. Okay, if you end up there, that's fine. You're going to find a fit. You're going to love it. You're going to enjoy it, okay? But this isn't about where does it go on the status of great to small. It's just about finding your gifts. Let me share them with you real quick, okay? The first six of these are relational gifts. Now, we don't use terms like that, but what I'm trying to do is just open our eyes to where we're not just looking at one set of spiritual gifts that are used in super spiritual settings. These are the things that happen every day. You do this when you work. You do it while you're walking around in the house. You do this when you're talking to your neighbor. When you students go to school, this is where you use this stuff, okay? The first one is this. It's the gift of encouragement. The gift of encouragement. Let me read a brief definition of all these to you. The gift of encouragement says, the gift of encouragement is the divine enablement to present truth so as to strengthen, comfort, or urge to action those who are discouraged or wavering in their faith. Can I just tell you, I just start right there. I can't think of anything better than to say, thank goodness for who you are, because you make people feel better. You make them want to do more. You make them want to smile, and they have every reason not to smile. But you're encouraging. Let me tell you, there's scripture. I got some scriptures here that I need to share with you. Along the lines of encouragement, Acts 11 chapter says, news of these things came from the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord just because he was an encourager. That's one of the greatest things you can do. And by the way, let me backtrack a little bit. If I were to come up to you and say, what is your spiritual gift? And you say, I don't know. That's not a good thing. I'm serious. You need to find something. That's a question that needs to be answered. We need to know that so that we can work on it and at least know what we have been created to do. Because I don't know is not a good answer. It's the same. It kind of goes along the line going, hey, do you know for a fact that you're going to go to heaven? Do you really want to say, I don't know? That leaves the whole thing up to question. So let's find our spiritual gift and let's use it. The second one is evangelism. The gift of evangelism is the divine enablement to effectively communicate the gospel to unbelievers so that they respond in faith and move toward discipleship. Not all of us are called to evangelism. all of us are called to share the gospel, whether through our life or whether through our voice. But there's some people, they just have this ability to witness to a wall and it gets saved. Brother Harold Powell is a guy that we used to know at Woodlake. He has a great history here in this area, in this district. I mean, he witnessed to everybody, all of it. And I'd hear stories about them just going, God, I'm just worthless. Should I just leave the ministry? I just don't even tell anybody about Jesus compared to Harold Powell. He just had this gift of evangelism. And he just came on him. So if it's your gift, then go for it. Evangelism, Luke 19:10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We all have that commitment, and it may not be our gift, but if it is, then let's not deny it. The third one is hospitality. Doesn't sound real spiritual, does it? Well, I think it's very spiritual. The gift of hospitality is the divine enablement to care for people by providing fellowship, food, or shelter. You know what? Churches become pretty famous when disasters hit and they open up their facilities for people to come and be there. The problem is it's usually only a tragedy that really causes those churches to be that benevolent. What we need to do is we need to constantly be hospitable. I love we saw a bunch of guys out here getting umbrellas this afternoon. There were people taking care of stuff this morning. I mean, hospitality, you know, you're receiving people. Anybody can stand at the door and hold it open with a grumpy look on their face and say, it's about time you came to church. I mean, you know, we really don't want that. It's not a gift of hospitality. It's a gift of grumpiness. And that's one of the seven dwarfs, and we don't want you here. You know, we want something that God has gifted you with, so let's take care of that. Hospitality, 1 Peter 4, 9 and 10 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There are some of you that you are a wizard in the kitchen. You are just awesome. There are some of you that you just love to just make sure that other people get taken care of. You just hate for somebody to not know where they're going or whatever, and you're willing to give directions in a hurry. We were with some people last night, and he's a big Texas fan, and he said, I think it was a Sonic restaurant, he said, I was wearing my Texas hat, and this guy said, sir, I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but someone has placed a Texas hat on your head. I said, would you like me to remove it for you? That cracked me up. I thought, what a great way to disagree with what kind of fan he is, you know. I thought, doesn't that just lighten the moment? I thought that was kind of cool and whatever. Okay, the next one is this, the gift of leadership. Gift of leadership. Now, if you don't have the gift of leadership, doesn't mean you have the gift of followership. Because at one time or another, we're all going to follow it, and most of the time, we're all going to end up leading. The gift of leadership, the divine enablement to cast vision, motivate, and direct people to harmoniously accomplish the purposes of God. There are times you just need to, you know, there's this confusion, and you just need to step in and just give people focus. Give them leadership. Just let them know. Well, they just need somebody to point which way to go. Let me take you there in Romans 12, the 8th chapter. It says, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty, he who leads needs to lead with diligence. He who shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness. It's okay to lead. It's not okay to boss, but it's okay to lead because everybody follows a leader. Nobody really wants to follow the boss. So we understand in perspective how that goes. The fifth one is this. It's the gift of mercy. Wouldn't that be a pretty cool gift? The gift of mercy. It is a divine enablement to cheerfully and practically help those who are suffering or in need, having compassion that is moved to action. It's not just a broken heart. It's not you see something, you feel bad about it. It's something you see, you feel bad about it, you do something about it. It's the gift of mercy. We find it in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 7. It's one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, so they shall obtain mercy. This is one of the greatest attributes anybody could have because it's one of the greatest attributes that our Lord and Savior has. I've said it before, and you'll have to agree with me. When it comes to that day when we face Jesus face to face, I hope he's ready to show his mercy to me instead of his judgment. I hope God looks at me mercifully through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and not according to the merit of what I have deserved by my life here on earth. That's the difference there. The last one of the relational gifts is this, shepherding. The gift of shepherding is the divine enablement to nurture, care for, and guide people toward ongoing spiritual maturity in becoming like Christ. I hope that this is the major thing that's happening in our small groups. And I know Jim and Jody just started a new small group, and we're already needing to look into maybe some other small groups. But when you get into those groups, that shepherding thing is somebody that just really wants to make sure that everybody's taken care of. And it's not that they take over. This is different than the gift of leadership. Leadership says, hey, we got to go over here, move it, rawhide. You know, and but shepherding is, hey, are you okay? We need just, you know, all right, and nurture everybody, take care of all of that stuff. Shepherding, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not by dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. All of these are things that we can do everywhere we go, in the right context at the right time. So you know what? If you have the gift of leadership and you find up in yourself in a place where somebody needs some guidance or whatever, then it's okay. Then step in and use that. God will help you to do it. God will give you the right moment, the right words, and the right opportunity. So let's not deny those and think it's only things that happen at church. These next few that I'm going to share with you are gifts for service. It's how that we use them to serve the Lord. The first one is administration. The gift of administration is the divine enablement to understand what makes an organization function and the special ability to plan and execute procedures that accomplish the goals of ministry. Oh, Lord, this is foreign to me. You know, I love getting people together. I love just rallying the troops. I love getting excited and everything. But when it comes to really, 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 really being organized, oh, dear God, help me, Jesus, and thank you for people like Donna and others that know how to corral the troops and take care of the details and answer phones, because that is not me. And if it's not you, that's okay, too. But if God has gifted you that you can take chaos and bring it into order, that means you have the gift of administration. And I am extremely jealous. But that's okay. I'll be the sanguine, you be the choleric. That'll be all right, okay? You have to have everything right in there, and it always has to be alphabetical order. If your spice rack is in alphabetical order, you are really, okay. So that's where we go with that. But there's nothing wrong with that. Thank God for people like that. Let me give you a scripture that goes with that. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. Well, right there in those big, big, big spiritual gift lists is administrations. If it wasn't just as important as the others, why would God put it in there? You remember that when Jesus left, there was a little chaos, and they weren't sure exactly what to do, and they said, you know, we need help here. You know, we can't minister the word and really, you know, focus on the word because we're waiting on widows and taking care of feeding people. So what did they do? They got some administration and corrected all of that and went on down the road. Number eight is craftsmanship. This sounds like something ought to be on, you know, channel 11 between midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning. Craftsmanship. You know, it is a spiritual gift. There are some people that they can take stuff and make it into something. I mean, they can. It's just amazing. Some of it's they've been training, but most of it they just see it and they make it happen. You know, Miss Jana, every year when she would do, you know, the big things or for the kids or whatever, she knew what she wanted to do, but she couldn't make it happen if she wanted to. There's just no way. You could give her nails. You could paint them the color of where it needs to go, and she couldn't do it. That's just the way it was. But you know what? There's people that she brought in, and man, before you know it, boom, we got a set and everything like that. That was just here in the church. It's a wonderful thing. The gift of craftsmanship is the ability to creatively design or construct items that need to be used for ministry or are used to minister. Some of you, Grady's not here tonight, but Donna's husband Grady, one of the greatest compliments he ever got when he was at Woodlake is he would go and see some of these old people, and he'd open a door and he would hear something creaking or whatever, and he'd just go to his van, and he'd bring some tools over there, and he'd fix that hinge, or he'd oil it, or he'd take care of these little things. He could just do that stuff. I mean, just boom. He heard it. He saw it. He looked for it. He knew what it took to fix it. Boom. He'd do that. We got a lot of men like that in here. You know, Leland Wareheim, bless his heart, and he is here. It's like whenever we have a problem like a leaky roof, it's 1-800-LELAND. Now, I don't know if he likes that or not, but the problem is this dude knows how to do this stuff. I mean, he just knows it. And there's probably others there, but why call them? Leland's here. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Anyway, I don't need to dog on him, but that's the way he goes. Craftsmanship. In Scripture, Exodus 31:3 says this, I have filled him with the Holy Spirit of God and with wisdom and with understanding and knowledge and in all manners of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze and cutting jewels of setting and carving wood and to work in all manner of workmanship. The things that we can do with our hands, whether it's building or set or whether it's making something look beautiful that wasn't beautiful, it's painting, decorating, whatever. Some of you can take, you know, this dull room and just make it exciting. You know what it is? It's a gift of God. He has created you. So you know what? Use those things. This is not what we do for a business. Everything that you do and touch in that is something that is credit to ability that God has given you. Listen, let's make sure that God gets the credit. Two more. Number 9 is giving. It's the spiritual gift of giving. The gift of giving is a divine enablement to contribute money and resources to the work of the Lord with cheerfulness and liberality. It's not just the desire to give, but God has literally gifted people to be givers. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's money, just specifically money. Sometimes it's resources. But God has created these people to do that. Let me take you to Scripture real quick. Or not real quick, maybe real slow. In 2 Corinthians 6:8, it says, he who exhorts, exhort with exhortation. He who gives, gives liberally. God wants to just bless you if you're a giver. You know what happens if you're a giver and you don't give? You may survive, but you're going to live miserably. You really are. You're going to regret that moment. And God has exalted some of us to do that. The last thing is this, is the gift of helps. The spiritual gift of helps. And this might be one of the most important, even though it's last. The gift of helps is the divine enablement to accomplish practical and necessary tasks which free up, support, and meet the needs of others. It is that opportunity for us to see that somebody needs a helping hand. That's the way we put it in our, you know, our everyday. They need a helping hand. So let's go and help them. It doesn't matter if somebody is just, you know, needing to, you know, a bag of groceries that need to be carried to the car or whatever. You know, sometimes we have decided that we shouldn't get in anybody else's life. Every time I go to Quick Trip and I see a lady, especially in this van, and she's trying to just kind of get this herd from the van to Quick Trip, I'm going, oh, Lord. I said, I've decided I really don't want a drink right now because they're in there. I mean, it's just amazing. But these people, they just need help. Sometimes, you know, they're all alone. They don't have anything else. We showed up Saturday because the men's ministry is doing their best to complete a job that we started. Had interruption after interruption, weather, you name it. And we were out there Saturday, and people just showed up. Listen, this wasn't just, okay, hey, as much help as we can get, although that was, you know, a part of the cry. But these were people helping this lady who her husband died 10 years ago, has no resources, and at the 27th of this month, if something isn't done, she's going to lose the insurance on her house, and it's all because nobody was there to help her. Well, listen, we don't want to go around, we're so awesome, we're out there helping. No, she just needed help. So thank God we're there to do it. God says that we should. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says this, God has appointed these in the church. Remember, I read this a minute ago. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gift of healings, and then right in there next, it says helps. There again, one of those little bitty things out of nowhere that it makes a whole lot of difference to God. So let me conclude by saying this. The body of Christ, not the body of Christ, Claremore Assembly of God, the body of Christ is incomplete without you. There is something missing. And we need to make sure that we fill in that gap it desperately. The body of Christ needs every one of us. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says this, to each one the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit is given for the common good. I don't have to sell you on this anymore, but we need to wrap it up and tell them, basically put it like this. Let's do the what-if game, okay? What if I don't discover What if I don't pursue? What if I don't practice? And what if I don't put into action my spiritual gift? We all know the answer to that question. Two things are going to happen simultaneously. Something that needed to be done is not going to happen, and we're going to be frustrated because we knew that we were supposed to do it. How many times have you, use this for an example that everybody can associate with, you drive up to the red light or whatever, and there's a guy with a cardboard sign? And you wanted to, but you weren't sure. And by the time that you finished thinking about it and asking yourself if you should have done it and wondering if you really needed that $5 somewhere else, turns green and you move on. And that haunts you all day long. Was I supposed to do that? Now listen, I'm not here to give you a cardboard guilt trip. I'm just telling you, at that moment, sometimes we freeze way too long and we play that what if game. What if? You know what? I'm telling you what. I hope I get to the point to where I focus more on I would rather be worried that I lost $5 than worried that I missed God. You know, we worry on the same on the wrong thing sometimes. We already know the answer to that question. And then the other thing is, why not? Why not? You were being made to be used. God made you to serve. God made you to find this gift. So you know what? Why not get involved in what God is doing? Here's what we need to pray for. To give us some direction. We need to pray that God will give us a holy dissatisfaction. There's something in our life that God wants us to do, and that we have a sense of dissatisfaction if it's not done. Now listen, this isn't about, this house is getting so dirty, I'm just sick and tired of it, I'm going to clean it up. Okay? That's called common sense. Get off of your blessed assurance, clean your house. All right? But what we're looking for is not that. We're talking about a stirring in our spirit, that there's something that God has identified through the Spirit that He wants me to do, and I am unsatisfied until I answer the call, yield to His calling, yield to the Holy Spirit, ask Him to enable me, investigate, discover, and try to perfect, but most importantly, put into practice a spiritual gift. Can I just tell you, do we whip children for that first step, try, and they fall flat on their face? Of course not. What a ridiculous illustration, quite honestly. No, we say, get up and try again. Get up and try again. Next thing you know, they're walking. My little granddaughter, I don't want her to run because she is unstable. I'm telling you, and especially if it's an uneven surface, I'm just going, man, if she falls and gets hurt on my watch, I'll never hear the end of it. And I'll never forgive myself. You know, so I kind of want to hold her back a little bit. But you know what her little heart says? I want to run. She doesn't see any fear. Some of us have become too adult in our attempts to walk in the Lord and to run and to feel His glory and to sense His blessing and His honor and even His anointing on our life, because we've already identified this little box we live in, and we're not even looking what's on the outside. On the outside is probably where your gift lies if you haven't already discovered it. Amen? Well, we're not going to end with music tonight. We're just simply going to end and ask you to just leave here playing the game. Pull it off the shelf, dust it off, pray about it, say, God, what do you want me to do? And we'll go from there. Amen? May stand to your feet, please. Thanks for coming back tonight in the midst of hurricane warnings and everything else. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we are so grateful that at a moment like this, if there's condemnation, we're putting it on ourselves. What we should be feeling is encouragement. What we should be feeling, Lord, not because of any abilities I have, but enlightenment, in that we look at the Scriptures and we find out that there is more that you want us to do, because you've gifted us to do that. It's not because you want us to be obligated. It's not because you want to abuse us. It's not because you want us to have to just simply be busy. God, we got enough stuff to keep us busy. But Lord, when I find out who you are, what you want me to do, what you've gifted me to do, I find energy, I find time, I find resources to exercise the things that you have called me to do. So I pray tonight as we leave that we will find those gifts, discover them, use them, practice them. In Jesus' name, amen.